Greetings, everyone. This is Michelle Mason, President and CEO of ASAE. And today, we are continuing an audio series we started last year called A Conversation On, where I have the opportunity to speak to some luminaries in our community on topics impacting our businesses. Yes, associations are businesses. So today, I am pleased to share A Conversation On, The Board's Duty of Foresight with Jeff DeCagna, Executive Advisor of Foresight First, LLC, and a longtime friend and colleague. Jeff and I are here to discuss his article on Board's Duty of Foresight in the 2024 edition of Board Brief, published by Associations Now. Jeff, thank you for joining me today.
Michelle, it's a true pleasure.
All right. Well, Jeff, how about we just jump into it? Let's just jump into this conversation because it is very much an interesting one. Jeff, I understand that this is a milestone year for the Board's Duty of Foresight. Can you explain?
Yes, it is a milestone year because I first wrote about the Board's Duty of Foresight, which is a term that I coined in 2014, and the pages of Associations Now, and an article that I wrote about BlackBerry and how did that company go from being so tremendously successful to becoming now basically an afterthought in our society. And what were some of the factors that led to that? And one of the factors for my research that I uncovered was that the board of directors of BlackBerry and the management as well really had failed at the duty of foresight to anticipate a world in which their company would not be the dominant player that they were at the time. And ever since 2014, in that original article on Associations Now, I've written many articles and had many talks and done a lot of work with various associations on this. So this 10-year milestone is something that I'm very pleased to be able to talk about. It's not a celebration for me. It's really more of a renewed invitation to all of our stakeholders, the association community, to embrace the importance of foresight, pursue the duty of foresight. And I just want to say here to offer my thanks to you and to ASAE for the important role that ASAE has played in the work that I've done on the duty of foresight, going back to the original article, the many talks that I've done for ASAE, the writing and contributions that I've been able to do. I'm very grateful to you and to ASAE for the support that you have shown for the work that I've done on the duty of foresight and will continue to do going into the future.
Awesome, Jeff. Well, we appreciate you in bringing this type of content to us to think provocatively about the future and in pushing us, always pushing us. So we like that. You talk about renewal. You talked about renewal, right? How has the duty of foresight changed over the last 10 years, which has led us to this period of renewal?
Yeah, so in 2014, in the article, you know, what I was really trying, and really for most of the 8 years leading up to that, or following that, excuse me, the focus was very much on the idea of boards adopting a shared commitment to learn as much as possible with the future. That's part of the definition of the foresight that I use, an intentional process of learning with the future. And, you know, we have to go back to the fact that the duty of foresight back in 2014 was kind of a radical notion. And it was a direct challenge to the orthodox beliefs that exist in our community about what boards do, what their purpose is, and what their work should be. And so over those first 8+ years, there was a lot of stability in the way that I talked about the duty of foresight. But then in 2022, looking at what had happened during the pandemic and all of the challenges that we faced individually and collectively across the association community and really around the country and around the world, I thought it was time to really update the duty of foresight. And so in 2022, in September of 2022, I released what I refer to as the next definition of the board's duty of foresight, which really challenges boards to stand up for their successors' futures, to focus on intentional learning, to focus on making short-term sacrifices, to focus on long-term action. And I wrote that definition in the way that I would write the definition of any of the other duties that we ask boards, or in fact, really compel boards to adopt, with the duties of care, loyalty, and obedience. For me, the duty of foresight is something that should impel boards to think about how what they want to leave behind, for those who will follow them, not just the people that they know personally, but the people who will come much later in this decade into the 2030s. How are we going to leave our organizations better than how we found it through the decisions that we make? So this next definition is the one that I've been using for the last basically 18 months. And I call it the next definition because I know that going forward, there's likely to be another definition that as we get closer to the end of this decade and the beginning of the next one, there may be another time when the duty of foresight definition needs to be updated. It's a next practice. And so it has to be dynamic. And I think that that's a very important aspect of this is that when a board adopts, chooses the duty of foresight, they are actually, creating for themselves an opportunity to enable their organizations to become future adaptive. And that's really what we need in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff, because what really resonates to me or with me is the intentionality behind it, choosing your future, choosing your path, choosing what you are preparing for based on the decisions that you're making today, which leads us to the title of your board brief article, Choosing the Future, right? And in preparing for that, so what advice would you have for association boards and CEOs? And if I can just kind of add to that, for those who are saying, my board will never, or I can't get my board to, or a CEO that, how would you help frame that discussion?
So let me take that in two parts. I think the message of the article that's in Board Brief, it's really what I tried to capture there was what have I learned? What have I taken away from my conversations with association directors and officers and CEOs over the course of these last 10 years as we've talked about the duty of foresight. And I think there are some key takeaways from those conversations. I think first and foremost, one of the things that needs to happen when we're dealing with the issue of foresight in any context, and particularly with a board addressing its duty of foresight, is there needs to be a willingness to challenge the orthodoxy, to really confront orthodox beliefs, to move beyond orthodox beliefs. I define orthodox beliefs as the deep-seated assumptions we make about how the world works. And in the case of associations, those worlds include not only the world of the board, the world of the staff, the world of the association as a whole, the world of the membership, the world of the profession or industry being served, and so on. There are many overlapping worlds that are part of that, and each one of them contains their own assumptions, some of which overlap and some of which are quite different from one another. We have to challenge those orthodox beliefs because that's the noise of the past. That's the belief system that got us to wherever we are. And as we look toward the rest of this decade and the 2030s, we need to adapt our thinking for the world that we're entering instead of trying to operate on the belief system of the world that we are leaving. So I think it begins with that willingness to challenge the orthodoxy. I think another thing that is important here is recognizing that our boards need to heighten their sense of responsibility for what they are going to do in that capacity, really elevate their performance and set a higher standard of stewardship, governing, and foresight. And the idea of the duty of foresight is central to that notion. And then I think finally, as I talk about, this idea of adaptation, long-term adaptation, sometimes we see people write or they talk about the idea of future-proofing our organizations. And I think that's an appealing message, but that's not something that we can actually achieve because, and it's not something, frankly, I think we want to achieve for a couple of reasons. One is we're not going to be able to proof our organizations against every potential challenge or threat that exists out there. But more importantly, I don't think we want to keep the future out of our organizations. I think we want to invite the future in meaningful ways. So for me, it's about long-term adaptation of our organizations as we look toward the challenges ahead of us, whether that's artificial intelligence or the climate crisis or any of the other issues that are sources of turbulence in the 2020s and will continue to be sources of turbulence as we move into the next decade. I think the message for boards of directors, for CEOs, and for others who are contributing to this is it starts with asking a question that I ask myself every day, the really the defining question of my professional life, which is, what will our successors say about us? And I ask that question every day when I'm doing a talk, if I'm preparing for a podcast, or if I'm, writing an article. I'm always asking myself, what will our successors say about us? And this is an important question, because oftentimes we talk about legacy, and what legacy is about, really more so, is about us crafting a narrative in which we feature as the hero. And this isn't about words. This is about actions. We cannot actually tell our successors what they will say about us. They will make their own determination, but they will not do it on the basis of the stories we tell. It'll be determined on the basis of what actions that we undertake starting today. And so I think for every CEO, every director and officer on a board, ask yourself, what will our successors say about us? Will they be happy? Will they be enthusiastic about the choices we made in 2024 when they're looking back on us in 2034, say, for example? And then I think it also moves to, let's start having a fundamental conversation about the kind of organization we want to leave for those who will follow us. Embrace the responsibility of stewardship that comes with the idea of the duty of foresight, and recognize that the duty of foresight, while it's not grounded in any kind of legal requirement, is grounded in the idea that we have shared humanity and a shared responsibility for those who will follow us, because those voices are not in boardrooms right now. The successors that I'm talking about, people will never know personally. They're not present in our boardrooms. We need to make them present by embracing the duty of foresight and make it something that is essential in our conversation. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here to imagine our organizations to be different in the future. And I think the duty of foresight is one foundational way that boards can undertake that responsibility and really leave their organizations better than how they found them.
Don't keep the future out, invite the future in. Jeff, thank you so much for these insights. You definitely have really set the stage for a lot of discussion in the association community. I know our community will appreciate hearing this. There you have it, folks, a conversation on the board's duty of foresight with Jeff DeCagna. Have a wonderful day.